In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
As you just heard, this wonderful miracle, which is read for us more than once throughout the liturgical year. And we're going to talk quickly about three portions: what happened just before the miracle itself, and then what happened just after the miracle. But first, is this a miracle? Is it a miracle of healing? Of course, the Lord healed the man who was born blind, but it's more than a miracle of healing. It is a miracle of creation, because the man was born without eyes. He had eye sockets, but no eyes. And more than that, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physician, but I've learned that if you are born with an eye disease where your eye is not sending signals to your brain, they actually have very little time, like in the order of days, before they can try to remedy your eye. Here there was no eye, but if you had an eye that was not properly sending signals to your brain, the brain is very efficient. After a while, that part of the brain that deals with eyesight figures that it's not needed, so it's shut down, and it's shut down permanently. So this man who was, he is of age, means he's probably in the Jewish custom 30 years old. He is of age means he's of legal age. Here, legal age is, what, 16, 18? But back then, legal age is probably in their 30s. So he's been 30 years old without any physical eye. And that subsystem of the brain that deals with eyesight has been long shut down. So the Lord not only created physical eyes, sent him to be baptized, his eyes were baptized, but he also recreated that part of the brain that deals with eyesight. For example, most of you have iPhones or iPads, and these days they all have a camera. But at first, iPads didn't have cameras in them. They had a whole bunch of stuff, but they didn't have a camera. So if an iPad doesn't have a camera, for sure they don't have a camera app on it to take pictures, because it wouldn't do anything. If you came to that iPad and you physically altered the electronics to put a camera, but you don't have a camera app, it's still useless. So the Lord had to create the camera app or recreate the subsystem of the gentleman's brain and also put the physical camera, the eyes, in their sockets in order to give sight to the man born blind. An amazing miracle. Let's situate ourselves quickly. As you know, in the church, we follow the Coptic calendar. The Coptic calendar starts in which month of the Western calendar? September, around September 11th or 12th, depending on if the leap year. And so September, October, November, December, January. December, you all know as what Coptic month we celebrate in the December season leading up to our January 7th Christmas. What's that Coptic month called? Kiach. Okay, so the first few Coptic months we have Tut, Papa, Hatur, Kiach, that you know we focus on the Lord's incarnation. And after Kiach is the month that we are just finishing. We're in the end of the month of Tuba. And in the month of Tuba, we focus on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and especially on the sacrament of baptism. Because as you know, baptism is the first step into Christianity. In order to become and be a child of God, you need to believe in God and be baptized. And as you know, in the very last verse of the chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the Lord sends his disciples to baptize everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's just a context of why we're reading this reading today. Let's talk about what happened before the miracle. So if we go back to the first few verses that were just read, this is all taken from John chapter 9. We almost read the entire chapter of John chapter 9. I encourage you, if you get an opportunity, reread it again, because there's a few verses at the end after what we read where the Lord speaks with the Pharisees. But here at the beginning, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. We just want to pause here. Jesus saw him. Maybe many crowds passed by. Some maybe threw money because he was for sure sitting, perhaps begging. But Jesus saw him. And we know that Jesus not only saw him, but he was focused on him, because you'll see that the disciples are going to ask him a question. Jesus sees me. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees me means Jesus sees my needs. Jesus sees my situation. Jesus knows my prayers. Jesus knows everything that I need. Jesus shows great love and concern for everyone, but especially for the poor and needy. And for the poor and needy is a redundant statement, because we are all poor and needy spiritually compared to the Lord. But he sees and helps and comes to the aid of those who realize that they are poor and needy. Jesus saw him. He took notice of him, as he takes notice of you and of me and of all of us. Jesus saw him means Jesus cares for him, as he does with every single one of us. Jesus sees our prayers. Jesus sees what's in our hearts. Jesus saw him. Jesus sees me. Now, if Jesus saw him and saw his needs, this should also encourage every one of us to also see our brothers and sisters and see their needs. Perhaps there's someone even in your own home that you need to see. Perhaps there's someone sitting next to you or here in the church that you need to reach out and see. Perhaps there's someone at your work or near your home or in your colleagues or what have you that you need to see their needs. And there's different kinds of needs. There's those who need physical help, those who need monetary help, those who need your time, those who need a listening ear, and those who need advice. Jesus saw him. Now let's come to the next part, where the disciples asked an interesting question. The disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned?" This seems to be a bit of a, sorry to say, cold, insensitive question. Who sinned? There's a man who's sitting here blind, and your focus is on the fault. Did he do something wrong? Did his parents do something wrong? Why is he born blind? But St. John Chrysostom gives another explanation for the questions of the disciple. If you read a few chapters back in the Gospel of John, you'll see the miracle where the Lord healed the paralytic man who was sitting at the pool of Bethesda. And you may remember the Lord asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" And he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the water when the angel has stirred it." But then after the Lord healed him, the Lord saw him in the temple, and the Lord said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. Sin no more." So sometimes a disease or an illness or a trouble can be a consequence of my sin, but not always, not in the case with this man who was born blind, as we see from the Lord's response. However, sometimes it is because of a sin. So the disciples had overheard the Lord telling the other gentleman, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing comes upon you." So here they were puzzled. They were saying, "Lord, what about this man? Could he have sinned? How could he have sinned? He was born blind. You can't sin before you're born." And of course, you know, in our church and in Christianity, we don't believe in reincarnation. Some other religions teach that, say, if I live here a bad life, then I die, I can come back in another form and be punished. We don't believe in any of that. So the disciples are saying, "Lord, how is he born blind? He couldn't have sinned. So why is he being punished without having eyes like the rest of humanity?" "Oh, perhaps, Lord, it's his parents who sinned. But Lord, we know that you do not pass the sins of the father to their children." So they're confused. They're perplexed. They're honestly asking the Lord, "Who sinned, him or his father or his mother? Why is he born blind?" And of course, the Lord corrects their thinking and says, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus has come as a light in the world to give sight to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. No one sinned. Of course, the man has sinned throughout his life and his parents have sinned. But the Lord is saying, don't focus on the sin. It is not always because of a sin, but it is that the Lord may be glorified in what you are about to see and in the man himself. But back to the question that the disciples asked, who sinned? In case some of us are tempted to do the same thing when we see our brothers and sisters fall in various trials or difficulties or diseases, we could say, you know, you could also take the Lord's response to say, that's not your business. That's not really appropriate. That's not really sensitive. Do not judge that you may not be judged. Do not condemn the innocent. Do not be a busybody in other people's matters. I have come into the world as the light of the world. Now let's come to the actual miracle itself, where the Lord opened or created eyes for the man who had no eyes. As you read in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, you know that God created man out of the dust of the ground, out of the clay. God formed man, and he breathed into man, and man became a living being. So it's appropriate here that the Lord is spitting on the ground, creating clay, anointing the eyes of the man to create eyes for the man. The Lord could have healed him in many other ways. There's other blind individuals who the Lord healed in various different methods, but he chose to show us here that he is the master of creation, and he is creating eyes for the man born blind. We're going to focus on just one part of verse 7 where he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Just three words to focus on maybe. Go, wash, sent. Go is a call to action to each one of us. Go. Don't just sit there. Go. Go do what? Go do something good. Go back to the Lord. Go talk to the Lord. Go help your brothers and sisters. Go see those who are in need. Go pray. Go to church. Go help your friends. Go in order to overcome the blindness. When you go to help others, you're also helping yourself. You're also cleansing your eyes that you received spiritually in baptism. Go closer to the Lord. Go that you may see the Lord. Go that you may see the proper path to come closer and closer to the Lord. Go that you may be comforted. You may be cleansed. You may have light, sight, life, and eternal life. Go is a call to action, and go is a call to repentance. And wash. Wash here, of course, in the first sense, is saying go be baptized. I believe the majority of people here have been baptized. So what? You want me to be baptized again? Yes, but not literally baptized again. The forefathers tell us the first baptism is of water and spirit. Now you are a child of God and you receive confirmation. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to repeat that sacrament. So what does it mean be baptized again? Is rewash. We have another sacrament called the sacrament of confession. And it is more appropriately called the sacrament of repentance and confession, because it must first start with the washing of the tears of regret over what I have done wrong or what I should have done right that I didn't do. So we need to go and we need to wash in repentance. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, I believe the sacrament of repentance and confession is not as heavily used. I don't know, perhaps in Egypt more often, but here in North America, we sometimes neglect to come and receive the sacrament of confession, or perhaps we neglect to do it as often as we can. We are told that don't go more than 4 or 5 weeks without confessing. Of course, on a daily basis, we are told at night, review what happened that day. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? But at least every month or every month and a half, come and receive the sacrament of absolution of our sins. Go and wash with the tears of repentance. Go and wash where? In the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in the prophecy of Malachi that he is the messenger of God. He is sent from God the Father to save us. He is sent for our salvation. Also, you all know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's speaking of the Comforter or the Helper or the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So the Holy Spirit was also sent to help us and to comfort us. So go, wash, and when we hear Siloam or sent, we are reminded not to resist the Holy Spirit of God, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to quench the Holy Spirit, but instead to work with our Lord Jesus Christ through the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Go, wash, sent. We're not going to go into the miracle itself as you heard it, but we just wanted to focus on those three words: go, call to action; wash, call to repentance; and sent, call to work with Jesus Christ and through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now we want to pause and talk about some of the negative aspects. This man who was born blind, at the end of the story, you know, he received his sight. He received his physically sight, but we know more importantly, he has spiritual sight. He saw the Lord Jesus and he worshiped in him and he believed in him. And some traditions say that he went and preached in France. We don't know that for sure. Of course, that's not recorded in the scripture, but some of the Roman Catholic churches in one of the areas of France, they know the name of the saint through tradition, not through scripture, and they believe that he preached in their region. Anyways, this man had a good ending, but there are some who should have had a good beginning and good ending in the story and who unfortunately clearly showed their blindness. Who are those people? Who are the people who are clearly blind in this story? The Pharisees. The Pharisees had all the means to be able to have perfect 20/20 vision. They had the books of Moses. They had the prophecies. They had all the symbols that point to Jesus Christ clearly, and they knew them. And they had all the signs and sacrifices and customs, and they had the Messiah right there in the midst of them. But they were blind. And there's a few reasons why they were blind that we just want to review. We don't have anything to do with the Pharisees, and not all of them were blind. Some of them were not. But in a general sense, the majority did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Why were they blind? So that we don't end up thinking that we see and end up falling into the same pit of darkness or blindness. There's a few reasons that could lead to blindness, and the majority of them can be seen in the actions and words of the Pharisees. Number one is pride. When I'm too proud, then I focus on me, thinking me is somebody, instead of focusing on God and his blessings. So pride could lead to spiritual blindness. Hypocrisy. Pride and hypocrisy often go in hand. Hypocrisy is when perhaps I want to look righteous instead of be righteous. And it's kind of foolish, actually, because if I focus on doing things to become better, to become closer to God, then automatically I would be more righteous and look more righteous. But if I focus on the outward appearance and outward image, that I'm fooling, perhaps I'm fooling everyone else, but I'm not fooling myself, and for sure I'm not fooling the Lord who saw me and sees every one of us. So pride leads to blindness, as does hypocrisy, as does a focus on outward appearances instead of cleansing the inside of the cup and dish. Lack of purity also leads to blindness. Lack of purity of mind, bad thoughts about others, or looking at bad scenes, or hearing bad thoughts, bad songs, or repeating them, could lead and does lead to spiritual blindness. Greed. when I am hoarding everything for myself, not seeing the needs of others. If I'm not seeing the needs of others, then I am blind. Pride, hypocrisy, focus on outward appearances, lack of purity, greed. And finally, we could say foolishness and ignorance also lead to spiritual blindness. Coincidentally, last Friday, we read the story of the departure of one of the famous patriarchs of the Coptic Church in modern times, Pope Kyrillus IV. You all know Pope Kyrillus VI, but Pope Kyrillus IV was the 110th patriarch. And Abuna also reminded us that that pope was famous for education and reformation of the church, not reforming the church beliefs, but reforming the education of those in the church. And he is famous to have purchased the first printing press for the Coptic Church to print holy books, to distribute holy books, to educate our children and our people. A focus on fighting against ignorance and fighting against the related sin of foolishness. All those things could lead to spiritual blindness. Pride, hypocrisy, a focus on outward appearance, a lack of purity, lack of helping others, so being greedy, focused on my needs, not others, foolishness and ignorance. But there's good news, because unfortunately, if you're like me, I think you would tick off examples in each of those buckets of categories. But the Lord sees our needs, and it doesn't matter where I am today, if I'm foolish or ignorant or greedy. What matters is that I want to get rid of those bad things, and I want to have spiritual vision in order to come closer to the Lord. So after the miracle, we see that the Pharisees clearly showed us examples of where they should have been having perfect spiritual eyesight, yet unfortunately they were lacking in their spiritual vision. And instead of rejoicing with this poor man who was born unable to see, who finally received eyesight, they were cornering him, they were persecuting him, they kicked him out of the synagogue, and they were willing to kick his whole family. That's why his poor parents, who were scared, said, "He is of age, he will answer for himself." Now let's jump to the very end of the reading from today. When the Lord, after the miracle, he met the man, and he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." He is talking with you. He is talking with you through his Holy Scripture. He's written 66 books for you to read. Don't go to the library and borrow other books. You have the books of the New Testament and the books of the Old Testament, and you finish all 66 and memorize them. Good news, there's about 9 or 10 more what are called deuterocanonical books of the Bible. And all the Old Testament point to Christ, and all the New Testament, of course, talks about Christ and his second coming. He is talking to you. Talk to him. Imagine a great premier or mayor or governor wants to have a conversation with you. I think you would make a few minutes to talk with him. The Lord is the God of creation. He wants to talk to each one of us individually. He sees us individually, sees our needs, and sees what he can do to help us. He only wants to talk with you, to hear you, and he'll bless you, give you spiritual eyesight. To him be glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Ephraim, Nimrod.
enjoys in eftiren ti theotokos mareath mave pensotiren tefkanen novi nane vojefes maroten jefiot nemefshiri nem piem nev ma eth owe tietereia se jike vot ten ostemos ten tiones.
En sophia theo proschomen, krialeison chen ometh me.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator, creator of heaven and earth and of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified, fastened upon Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, ascended into the heavens, he sits at the right hand of his Father, and he is coming again, scourge to judge the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. He has to believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we confess from baptism and remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the